Good morning. My name is Catherine Emby, and I am reading the scripture this morning from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think we're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Pardon me for just a minute. I'm feeling a little thirsty. You know, you get that dry mouth when you're up here and have to... Oh, thank you. That's so much better. Good morning. Did you know that the body is made up of about 60% of water, and that dehydration is very dangerous for the body? I've known many, many people who've been hospitalized because they have become dehydrated. That was one of the reasons my mom wound up in the hospital a lot, was she would get dehydrated. We don't drink enough water, right? Well, probably the worst time this happened for me was I had come home from college, and Bill and I were just dating, so he had big plans for the weekend. And one day we went to the beach. The next day we went to Epcot. Now it was summer, it was hot. If you've been at Epcot or Disney World, you know how hot that can be. And then the next day we played golf on a little par 3 executive golf course out in the hot sun. That night I got the worst migraine headache I have ever had in my life. I could not pick my head up. I had to sit in the dark. If I even moved a little bit, the pain was excruciating. And what I found out was I got dehydrated being out in the sun so much those days. So we need to make sure that we are hydrated. And this morning I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you, are you thirsty? Have you ever been really thirsty? Catherine read our scripture for us, and we are going to talk about how Jesus had an encounter because he was thirsty. He traveled from Judea to Galilee through Samaria, and it was hot, and it was exhausting and tiring, and he knew what it was to be thirsty. But it is that encounter and how we experience his encounter at the well that is going to be more refreshing than any drink of water we can ever have. So are you ready to wade in the water with me this morning? All right, let's take our story. Jesus he's been teaching and preaching in Judea, and the Pharisees are starting to question, and they're getting a little bit upset with him. So he's thinking, it's not my time yet, so we probably ought to go somewhere else. And he's setting the course for Galilee. Now, to get from Judea to Galilee, you have to go through Samaria if you're going to take the shortest route. I want to point out something that I didn't notice before in reading this scripture. In verse 4:4, notice what it says. Jesus had to go through Samaria on the way. Did he really? He could have crossed the Jordan River, gone up through Persia, and cut back in and avoided Samaria altogether. But the scripture says he had to go through Samaria. And there is a reason other than just wanting to take the shortest route. So they decide to head to Samaria, through Samaria to Galilee. And it's hot. It's 70 miles to go from Judea to Galilee. And they're walking. It would take about 6 days. So about halfway through, maybe they started running out of supplies. It's hot. It's arid. And I started thinking, what is the closest I've ever experienced to that? In 2018, we took a trip to the Grand Canyon. It was one of those tours. And part of the tour was we got to go to Monument Valley. Monument Valley is supposed to be this wonderful Hollywood scene, and you probably have seen this mesa many times in commercials. I see it all the time now that I've been there. But it was so hot that day, and it was dusty, and we had to wear bandanas on our face to keep from breathing in the dust. And if the wind blew, it was like somebody was standing there with my blow dryer in my face on high. It was just awfully warm. And that was only for a couple hours we were there. Jesus has been hiking through this terrain for days. He's covered in dust. He's tired. The disciples are tired. They're thirsty. And they run across the local Stuckey's or Cracker Barrel on the exit, right? No, they stumble across a well. And Jesus does something unusual here. He sends the disciples on ahead to the town to get more supplies. All of them, all 12, and he stays at the well. And he sits down, and along comes this woman, and she too is all alone. It's high noon, it's hot, and he asks this woman for a drink. Now, that doesn't seem so unusual, does it? Let's talk a little bit about Samaritans and Jews. Why this is such an unusual interaction. Why was this a dangerous trip going from Judea to Galilee? Because Samaritans and Jews did not get along. And the issue was over worship, basically. It was the first worship war. And during the time of the Assyrian captivity, the Jewish people intermarried with the Gentiles, and they created a new place on Mount Gerizim to worship. And that was their place. But the Jews still declared that Jerusalem, the temple, was the true place for worship, and that became the dividing factor for these people. Another important fact you need to know is Jesus is a man talking to an unknown woman. Jewish men did not talk to women that they did not know. Beyond that, she calls him rabbi. Rabbis could not speak to women in public, period. They could not talk to their wives, they could not talk to their mothers, they could not talk to their daughters, their sisters, their cousins. They could not talk to women in public. So here is a rabbi at a well, talking to a Samaritan woman, asking for a drink of water. Here's Jesus again, just messing with social convention, right? This is the encounter that he had to go through Samaria for. And so in John 4:9, the woman is completely surprised. For Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Now I want to just take a little aside for a moment. The women had to walk from town to the well to get water for their household and take it back. And maybe sometimes, depending on the size of the family, they had to make a few trips. They did not have the privilege of being able to take a cool drink of water, go to a faucet, and pour out clean drinking water. We are so spoiled, and we are so blessed. Because this is not just happening in biblical times. This still happens in places around the world today. People are thirsty. We are thirsty. So back to our story. Why would he ask me for a drink of water? The woman says. Do you know who I am? You are not supposed to talk to me. Jesus replies in verse 10. If only you knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. Well, we all, most of us, know what that means, but this Samaritan woman is very confused, and she becomes a little bit defensive. Now, let's talk a little bit about where we are. We are at Jacob's well in Sychar. What is the significance of Jacob's well? This is a very special place for both the Jewish people and the Samaritan people. This was Jacob's land. He bought this. He dug that well for his family and all of his ancestors. His son Joseph, he gave this land to. Both of them are buried in this land. In fact, they carried Joseph's bones from Egypt for 40 years to bury them here in the Promised Land. It's a special place in Jewish history, but it's special for the Samaritans too, because they see themselves as descendants of Jacob through Joseph's sons Ephraim and Manasseh. So this is a sacred place for her. And so she's saying, you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob? Who do you think you are? First, you didn't know who I was. Now, who do you think you are that you think you are greater than this well that he has provided for us for many, many years? And the other thing she's thinking is, you just asked me for a drink of water. This well is 100 feet deep. There's no way you can get water from it. I have to drop my bucket down and draw it up to be able to give you a drink of water. What are you going to draw the water with? How can you offer me a drink of water? You have nothing to draw with. She's missing the point of his message, isn't she? She has yet to realize her true thirst. So I ask you this morning, are you thirsty? And what are you thirsty for? This woman was thirsty. And yes, maybe a glass of water would have temporarily quenched her thirst. But she didn't even know what she was thirsty for. Why did this woman come to the well alone? It's noon. It's hot. All the other women come when it's cooler. And they come together and they help each other. You know, I kind of have this image of the well being the modern day water cooler. They're all standing around, having a conversation, and I'm wondering if this woman is part of their conversation. They don't include her, but they talk about her. Her life is filled with shame. She's thirsty, but she doesn't know what she's thirsty for. And Jesus is offering her living water to restore her life. He offers that to us as well. She is spiritually dehydrated. And she carries the water back and forth, but she also carries with her the burden of her shame and her guilt. So what are we thirsty for? We are thirsty in this culture sometimes of success, of being the best, being number one. And success can be measured in a number of ways. It can be measured in acquisitions, homes, jobs, cars, wealth. It can be measured by status, being able to achieve the best and being number one. It can be achieved through fame and recognition, or perhaps just approval and affirmation. But the things that we thirst for will not satisfy. They will not refresh. They will not restore. In fact, they make us more thirsty. When I was teaching, and I taught chorus, for those of you that might not know that, for 20 years in Pinellas County Schools. And as a teacher, I developed what's called vocal nodules on my vocal cords. So I had to go to a doctor, and I went to speech therapy. And through that therapy, I learned proper vocal care, and they were able to heal. But in that, I learned some interesting information. I learned that water was important for vocal cords. I needed to keep them hydrated to prevent that from happening again. I also learned that caffeinated drinks are not good for you. And at that time, I would consider myself a Coca-Cola addict. I drank Coke all the time. That was my go-to choice for refreshment. Little did I know that Coke dehydrates you, not quenches a thirst. Remember my migraine after being outside and walking at Epcot all day? Do you want to know what I drank at Epcot all day? Yeah, Coca-Cola. I did it to myself. Oh, how true is that we do it to ourselves so often? So what are you thirsty for? We are right now in the season of Lent. And we've been talking the last couple of weeks about giving up. Giving up bitterness. Last week we heard from our missionary, giving up comfort. I would ask, are you ready to give up those things that you are drinking right now that do not satisfy you, but separate you from having the life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ that he wants for us and that we thirst for? Jesus is the living water, and he wants to give that to you so freely. And yet, we are stubborn human beings, aren't we? We think we know what's best for us. I know that if I just drink this water, my dry mouth is gone. You know, in 5 minutes, I'm going to have dry mouth again. I will be thirsty. I will have to keep drinking. And we tend to look for things that satisfy, but they do not quench the thirst. We like to solve our own problems. We like to fix, and we want to fix it, and we want to fix it fast. If we are in pain, we go to the drugstore, and we look for a pill that will make it all better. And if we can't find that, then we begin to self-medicate in other ways. We look for things that will feed the yearning within our spirit. But there's only one thing. We just need to ask for it. But as we are on this adventure of trying to figure out and solve it for ourselves, we turn to things like alcohol, drugs, pornography, work. Workaholism is real. People-pleasing, gaming. How many times do we sit here and we see young people? I do it. The minute I get home, I pick up my phone, I start doing Wordle or crossword or something. What am I trying to quench? All of these things, the problem is they give us that temporary, momentary relief. But it is not sustaining. And the problem with it is the more we do it, the more we now need to quench our thirst. That's how addiction works. We are not quenching our thirst with that which will satisfy us for eternal life. These things that we tend to drink actually make us more thirsty. They dehydrate us spiritually. How many of you have ever heard of Gatorade? Gatorade, by the way, was invented in 1965 at the University of Florida. Go Gators! And anybody know what the tagline is for Gatorade? The thirst quencher. Absolutely. The thirst quencher. Research shows that, is it really? I was reading some articles this weekend, and it showed that, you know, in some ways it's almost a placebo effect. There may be some merit because it replenishes the electrolytes and has some salt and, yeah. But the thirst quencher may not really be the thirst quencher that we all think it is. Jesus Christ is the true thirst quencher. In Psalm 42:1, the psalmist writes, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God." This is a powerful image. Yesterday, I was walking the causeway with my dog, and by the time, it's starting to get hot, right? So by the time we're done with it, she gets in the car and she's going, she's panting, she's thirsty. That's a powerful image. Do we pant for God? Is our soul thirsting for God? And are you just quenching it with temporary fixes? Jesus is the thirst quencher. We need to be thirsting for what God can fill us with. He can fill us with peace, with joy, with hope, love, forgiveness. And we look for it in so many different places, and we can't find it. So this week, I want you to reflect in your time of prayer on three questions. Question number one, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? For most of us, the answer is yes. We are thirsty, but like the woman at the well, we might not know what it is that we are thirsty for. So that's my second question, is what are you thirsty for? What is it in your heart, in your spirit? We are all seeing the news, and our hearts break for the lack of peace in our world. Are you thirsty for peace? Are you thirsty like the woman at the well who carried her shame, her heartache, her sin, her despair? Are you thirsty for forgiveness and restoration? What are you thirsty for? And finally, I want you to really take a good look at your life and ask yourself, what am I drinking to quench this thirst? Am I going for Gatorade, the substitute thirst quencher? Am I truly seeking Jesus, who can give us living water? John 4:14 says, "But those who drink the water that I give will never be thirsty again." I'm going to say that again. Those who drink the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. Seek this drink. Drink up Jesus in your life. And a bubbling spring will well up within you. Don't be like the woman at the well who questioned, "Who do you think you are? Who are you to offer me a drink?" Don't be afraid to ask for what you need. Jesus said, "If you knew who I was, you would ask me for a drink." This morning, I invite you to ask Jesus for a cool, refreshing drink of living water. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he is the living water, that he fills us, refreshes us, renews us, restores us, redeems us. And that God, you want us to never thirst again. May our souls pant after you this week. And may we be refilled and renewed and restored. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.